medicine with, I guess, painkiller in your ears this morning as you try to endure the sound of this voice. The text this morning is a familiar story of people that didn't want to do something, and they found a reason not to do it. And I call this lesson, One is as Good as Another. There is a brand of humor that's called disjointed humor. And it means that it makes no sense. It's nonsensical. For instance, two penguins were taking a bath. One penguin says to the other, "Would you pass me the soap?" And the other penguin said, "What do you think I am, a radio?" Now, if you laugh at that, that means you didn't get it. And if you're not laughing, you got it and you didn't want it. It's nonsensical humor. And the same is true about excuses. An excuse is nonsensical. Why didn't you go to church today? Well, because bricks are red and other colors. That has nothing to do with an answer. It's nonsensical. But one is just as good as another. When we start making excuses, it creates an interesting dilemma. There's a passage in the Old Testament in the book of Proverbs, chapter 22, verse 13. And I'll read it from the New Revised Standard Version, and then I'll read it from the King James Version. The New Revised Standard Version says, "The lazy person says, 'There is a lion outside, I shall be killed in the streets.' The slothful man said, 'There's a lion without, I shall be slain in the streets.'" Slothful or lazy, same thing. There's a lion outside. If I go out there, if I go to work, if I do anything, if I get out of my bed, if I get up and go outside, why, there's a lion out there. He'll kill me. Well, in the first place, it's kind of unusual for a lion to be in the streets of a city. That's an unusual thing. If you were roaming out in the lion's domain, then that would be a definite danger. But in the streets of the city, not very likely. But when you don't want to do something, one excuse is as good as another. There's a song that the group a cappella did. Keith Lancaster wrote this song years and years and years ago. And it goes like this. In summertime it's too hot, in winter it's too cold. In spring and fall, when the weather's nice, there's someplace else to go. We can go to the mountains or to the beach or visit some old friend, or stay at home and hope that some of the relatives will drop in. A headache Sunday morning, a backache Sunday night, but by Monday morning, you're feeling quite all right. One of the children has a cold, pneumonia, you suppose, and so all the family had to stay home just to blow that poor kid's nose. Excuses, excuses, you'll hear them every day. And the devil will supply them if from church you'll stay away. When people come to worship God, the devil always loses. So to keep them folks away from church, he offers them excuses. There are reasons why we may or may not be able to do something. Good reasons can be the case why we don't do something that is expected of us. There are reasons, but then there are also excuses. And many of these excuses that are made to sound as good as possible, but they're still very flimsy. Paul makes the statement to the church at Galatia. In Galatians 5 and verse 7, he says, "You did run well. Who did hinder you, excuse me, that you should not obey the truth? You did run well. You were doing great." The church at Thessalonica that we've been studying about on Sunday morning, they started out great. They were doing well. And the church at Ephesus, they started out great. They were so strong in the Lord that when Jesus wrote to the churches of Asia, and he's writing to the church at Ephesus, he says, "You guys were amazing. You stood up for the truth. You rejected the false doctrine. You You exposed false teachers for what they were. You were full of good works. You did so many good things. To quote Paul, who you did run well. Who did hinder you? By the way, keep in mind too that the church at Galatia, this is the church at Galatia. And he says, you did run well. Who hindered you that you should not obey the truth? By obeying the truth, we're not talking about becoming Christians. We talk about obeying the gospel. But you not only become a child of God by obeying God, but you remain a child of God by continuing to obey God. We have to continue that. Excuse me. It's not a matter of beginning well. You know what's the most important thing? You know what's more important than beginning well? Huh? Finishing well. Finishing well. How many teams did not make it to the college football playoffs? You know who didn't? Those who didn't finish well. How many games started out this season where one team got ahead and it was obvious they were beating the other team, but something happened and they didn't finish well. And if you don't finish well, you end up losing. Well, that's true of football, basketball, baseball, any sport. And it's true of the Christian walk. It's easy for us to begin well. When you first become a Christian, there's excitement, there's joy, there's thrills, there's just something new, and it's thrilling, and it's different. But then the mundane sets in, the run of the mill, the routine can set in, and it can become such a routine that's all it is. And the joy can slide away, the excitement can drift, and we can become weary in well-doing. And we have to be vigilant about this. We have to be on guard about this. But if I don't want to, it's always easier to do nothing than it is to do something. It's always easier to stay at home than it is to get the keys and get in the car and go. You don't have to do anything to do nothing. But you got to do something to do anything. And that's just the way it is. And it's so easy for us, if we're not careful, to be like the church at Galatia. We may have started out great, but what hindered us? Of course, in this passage, Paul is rebuking these Galatian brethren because what they've done, they've gone back to the old law. They've gone back to the old ways. And that's what we tend to do when things get hard, don't we? We revert back to what we're most comfortable with. If you're trying to break a habit, if you've got some habit, and you're trying to break that habit, and you get nervous or stressed out or something difficult happens in your life, it's very easy to revert back to the old and familiar. And so that's what the Jews were doing, these Jewish Christians in Galatia were doing. They're going back to the old law. And Paul is rebuking them for this. You did run well. Who did hinder you? And their situation illustrates this common problem for all people. We begin the Christian walk with this zeal and this excitement for the Lord. And we want to share the gospel with others. But something happens. And unfortunately, many will obey the gospel, but they're like water. They take the path of least resistance. Brethren, the sign outside somewhere says, failure is taking the path of least persistence. And that's how you fail. If we are not persistent, consistent, resistant, committed to doing what's right, we will drift back into that which is wrong. We have to walk uphill to be Christians. We have to walk uphill. Walking uphill is hard. It takes effort. But that's what the Christian walk is. Walking in the light is going to be walking uphill. And we're going to be struggling, and we're going to be having to put out an effort to do it. It's fairly easy to walk on the level ground, isn't it? Especially when there's no bumps or dips, when there's no stumbling blocks in the way. That's fairly easy. And there are times in our life where it is just like that. But many times in our life, being a faithful Christian means walking uphill. So, you know, you get, first of all, what will happen to us is that we dread the difficult. It's normal to avoid confrontation where possible and to put off the painful and the uncomfortable. We want to do that. Ask how many children want to go get a shot. You're not going to find very many at all that would be willing to do that. It's normal to want the easy way, but not at any price. Not at any price. I want to always try to find the easiest way I can to do something. But sometimes the easy way, the shortcuts, will lead us to sin. They will lead us to doing what's wrong. Now here's how it happens. First comes the fear of what we fear. The fear of what we fear. We're afraid of something. We don't want that lion to get us. And then it's easy to become discouraged. Oh, what's the point? What's the use in even trying? Nobody else is doing anything. Why should I do something? I'm saying this to those of you who are still faithful workers in the Lord's kingdom. Those of you that are still trying to do what's right. Don't become discouraged because as you look around, you say there's so few that are really trying. No, do not let yourself be discouraged. You keep trying to do what you can. Don't let anyone steal your joy. Don't let anyone take your faith. Don't let anyone discourage you from continuing to try. Even if you're trying all by yourself and nobody else is trying, you keep trying. Because God sees it. He will notice and He will bless you for it. But see, it's so easy for us to become indifferent, to give up and become indifferent. And that's the biggest danger. It's not that we openly oppose Jesus, but we become indifferent toward Him. It's not that we openly oppose the doctrine of Christ. It's that it doesn't matter anymore. And that's the biggest danger of all. We cannot allow this to happen for us, brethren. Indifference sets in, and the person just gives a fraction of effort, a fraction of their time, a fraction of their energy, a fraction of their ability. And it's easy to become spiritually lazy when that happens and to make excuses. There's no one to help me. I can't do it all, and so why should I even try? I can't do it as well as so-and-so can. The elders aren't really interested in me, or I never get called on to do anything, or there's no use of trying, or there's a lion in the street, and if I go out, I'll be killed. How does somebody come to this point? When you look at the parable of the sower, you consider the soils. We always think about four different kinds of people, don't we, when we see this? Because obviously the soil is the condition of the heart. And we're thinking of four different people out there. There's the good one, there's the stony, there's the thorny, there's the wayside. That's four different folks, right? No. Every one of them is you. Every one of these is you. You are the soil in every single one of these instances. You. And it's where you are right now that matters. It's the condition of your heart. It's not about somebody else. It's about the condition of your heart. How well will you receive the gospel? How well will you hold to the doctrine of Christ? It's about you. And it's about me. And so we need to make sure that we keep our hearts right with the Lord. And that's how we can avoid coming to the point of being indifferent, and giving up, or crying, there's a lion in the street. I'm not going out today. I'm not messing with it. So what's the solution? I'm going to wrap this up. Can you believe it? I know, I'm about out. I'm about done. What's the solution to this? Well, in Philippians 3, verse 14, Paul says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul says, I press on. I press on. He's saying every effort that I'm making, I am making to try to help. Well, thank you, brother. You didn't suck on this at all, did you, Harold? Thank you. As long as I don't get it hung. Whoever can do CPR or the Heimlich real quick, y'all be fast up here if I get hanging up on this thing. We were talking about Tarzan, weren't we? No, we weren't. Paul was saying, I press on. I'm not going to give up. I press on. And every effort, brethren, to try to reach higher, to try to go farther, comes with its own difficulties. Some of them real, some of them perceived. But everything we try to do comes with its own set of difficulties, its own set of challenges. And it's easy to make excuses for not trying harder to live right and to do right. And it's easy to be satisfied with whatever efforts we're making right now to serve the Lord. And so the excuses can easily flow. We need to stop making excuses and start making effort. Make effort to invite people to church. Make effort to read and study your Bible. Make effort to spend time with God every day in prayer. Make effort to be at church every time you possibly can. Make effort to live a godly example in every minute of your life. Even when you're by yourself, God is still watching. God is still watching. So when you're by yourself, that's no excuse for losing your temper and throwing a fit. When you're by yourself, that's no excuse for any kind of sin. And when you're around other people, you must try to remember that Jesus is expecting you to be like Him. He's expecting you to be His representative to a lost and dying world, to show people what being a Christian is really like. And so the solution to spiritual indifference is pressing on, pressing on. Now let me close by asking, is there a lion in your street today? Is there a lion in your street today? You know, the lion is nothing more than a lack of faith. It's nothing more than a lack of faith. You believe what Jesus said and you obey Him. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and I will take care of you. That's what Jesus says in Matthew 6, verse 33. You seek my kingdom and His righteousness first, and I will take care of you. Have faith to give up whatever you need to for the cause of Christ. Have faith to do what you need to do to become the person that you need to become for the will of Christ, for His glory. You can't allow yourself to be too busy with the things of this world. We all have to work. We all have to provide for our families. We all have things that we must do. And there's time that has to be spent, money that has to be earned, and money that has to be spent. So there's time that we live in this world that we've got to be a part of this world, but we're not like the world in the way we do our business, the way we deal with people. And that's the difference between us and the people of the world. And so we can't allow ourselves, though, to be too busy to do what's right. Too busy to reach out to others and try to bring them to the Lord. Now, obviously, we could think of a million excuses, not literally, but we can think of a million excuses that people make that we have heard. And you know how you feel when you hear somebody make an excuse. You know how you feel about that. You see right through it. And you know how you feel about it. Don't be guilty of doing that with God. God can see right to your heart. Be pure before the Lord. Be honest to the Lord. And don't make excuses to God. Go ahead and do what you know you're supposed to. Be the person you're supposed to be. Live the life you're supposed to live. Be a faithful child of God. And that way you don't have to be worried about a lion in the street. Because if for some reason you stepped out and a lion killed you, you're just going home. You're just going home. So if you live your life as a child of God and it's difficult and it causes you suffering, that's adding to your crown in heaven. If you live your life as a child of God and it causes you any kind of problem at all, or if it does ultimately cost you your life, you're just going home. That's the way to look at it. So don't let there be fear that there might be a lion in the street or any other thought that might be hinder you from giving your life to the Lord today. If you're not a Christian, you need to obey the gospel. If you believe Jesus is the Son of God, then turn from sin, repent, and confess to God your faith that Jesus is the Son of God, and then be baptized in water for the forgiveness of your sins. That's what you must do if you want to be born again of water and the Spirit. That's what you must do if you want to become a child of God. And then having done that, walk with the Lord. Walk in the light, committed to doing what's right every day. But if you fail, if you rebel against God, then you must repent, turn back to God before it's too late. Confess to God your sin and ask God to forgive you. He will forgive. He will restore his children as long as you will keep trying. Do not let the worry of a lion in the street stop you from being a Christian. Don't let any excuse come out of your mouth, but be committed to doing what's right. Press on toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation, we invite and encourage you to come if you need to right now as we stand and sing.